There is political and economic turmoil in Africa's top oil-producing nation.
There's been a kind of political awakening.
We'll take a closer look at the origins of the unrest in Nigeria and the global impact. Plus,
touchdown declared.
A celebration on Earth after a victory in space. How a tricky mission to scrape dust off an asteroid might provide clues on the origins of the solar system. It's Wednesday, October 21st. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. We're reporting exclusively that private equity billionaire Leon Black faces a review by Apollo Global Management into his relationship with disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. Black requested his company hire an outside law firm to do the review. Black has said Epstein provided him with tax and estate planning advice, for which the billionaire paid millions of dollars over a multi-year period. Epstein also previously served on the board of Black's family foundation. Black made a day trip with his family to Epstein's private island and met with Epstein at the advisor's Manhattan townhouse. Black said he plans to cooperate with an investigation into Epstein's businesses. There is both praise and criticism for the Justice Department's decision to bring an antitrust lawsuit against Google's parent company, Alphabet. As we talked about on last night's podcast, the suit alleges Google has used anti-competitive tactics to preserve a monopoly in searches and digital advertising. The Journal's Ryan Tracy covers tech policy and has reaction from Washington and beyond.
Well, we saw members of Congress from both parties say that they are happy the government's finally suing Google. There have been bipartisan concerns about the company's market power for a long time now. We saw some skepticism from trade associations that represent large technology companies like Amazon, like Facebook. We also saw some skepticism from those who are worried that this lawsuit may be politically motivated. It was filed just a couple weeks before the election, and the Wall Street Journal and others have reported that there have been some reservations within the Justice Department and among state law enforcement agencies about how quickly the lawsuit was moving forward. And we should say, by the way, that the Justice Department pushes back against those assertions that it's playing politics, and Justice Department officials say this lawsuit was ready.
News Corp, which owns the Wall Street Journal, has complained to antitrust authorities at home and abroad about Google's search practices and its dominance in digital advertising. Stocks closed higher on Tuesday, with some investors hopeful that a deal for a stimulus package could be reached in Washington. As we look at the earnings calendar, Tesla, Chipotle, and healthcare giant Abbott Labs are among the companies reporting quarterly results today. There's something interesting happening in the market for aluminum, and China plays a role. From Hong Kong, our markets editor Quinton Webb explains what's driving the surge.
Aluminum prices have hit their highest in about 18 months recently, and effectively the metal is catching up with some of its peers. Other industrial metals such as nickel, copper, and tin, which have also rallied recently. Now, what seems to be happening at the moment is that, in particular, Chinese demand is surging, and that's because, as we all know, you know, China is emerging rather strongly from the coronavirus pandemic, and that is driving demand, for example, in the car industry in China. And I think there's also some anticipation that there could be some new sort of sources of industrial demand coming when China's leaders unveil their next kind of economic blueprint for the 5 years starting in 2021. So if you like, let's see industrial metals as a barometer of the health of the global economy, and they're sort of showing that things are looking up somewhat.
Just ahead, a closer look at the global importance of the political and economic challenges facing Nigeria amid protests in the oil-rich nation. As we said, we now go to the streets of Lagos, Nigeria, where a growing protest movement has global stakes, given the country's strategic importance and role in the world energy market. Nigeria has seen weeks of marches against police brutality. Those demonstrations have grown into a much broader movement for major change. Yesterday, witnesses reported that several people were killed after Nigerian soldiers opened fire at a protest site. National officials weren't immediately available for comment, but the state government says it'll investigate the incident. Joining us now is our Africa Bureau Chief, Joe Parkinson. He's been reporting extensively from Nigeria. Joe, thank you for being here.
Great to be here, Mark.
Joe, let's start by looking at the core of the protest. What's at the center of it?
Nigerian people, and mostly youth, have been protesting now in cities across the country, Africa's most populous country, more than 200 million people in Nigeria, in demonstrations that started about one issue. And this one issue was police brutality and trying to abolish a notorious anti-robbery squad called SARS that was accused of all manner of heinous crimes, including torture, extortion, and extrajudicial killings. The protests were extraordinarily successful in their early days, and the government agreed to abolish this unit. But the protesters were skeptical that the government would deliver on their demand, so they've stayed on the street. And in the past few days, the momentum behind the protests has grown, and the demands of the protesters have evolved into something more than just police brutality. It's now about much more of the broader complaints about Nigeria's government and Nigeria's economic settlement. They're calling for more economic opportunity. They're calling for less corruption. They're calling for more equality of opportunity. And they're calling for less nepotism. And this has now become a more diffuse nationwide movement.
Joe, as you know, Nigeria is a country that is rich in oil, but is also dealing with the economic hardship of the pandemic. The prices of oil have dropped significantly. Is that playing a role in this strife? Is there economic stability right now?
The short answer to that is no, and it is playing a big role in this. The context to these protests is that Nigeria's economy is not in a healthy state. We've had the shock of the coronavirus lockdowns playing out on an economy where a lot of people work in the informal sector, and not being able to go out and conduct business has pushed a lot of people into poverty and even hunger. On top of that, we've had the crash in oil prices. 99% of Nigeria's foreign currency export revenue, 99% is from oil. It's a huge determinant of the national budget and national income. So those two shocks have come on top of an already sort of anemic economic situation. There hasn't been a lot of growth in Nigeria over the past few years, and there was a recession a couple of years prior to that. So this, on top of a big population that's rapidly growing with lots of young people coming onto the job market, created this context of people feeling that the government is not delivering and that they don't have the economic opportunities and they can't see the economic future that they want inside this current system, inside this current structure, which has led to much more radical demands.
And many of the protesters are young people getting reaction from around the world.
That's right. These protests, as I say, started about a very narrow issue, you know, a Nigerian police unit that very few people outside the country had heard of. But the protests quickly caught fire through a hashtag #EndSARS on Twitter. They spread to Nigerian diaspora communities all across the US and across Europe. We saw solidarity protests in cities like Washington and New York and London and Berlin. And it then moved into the kind of celebrity sphere. And we had very, very high profile people in the pop industry, celebrities, captains of industry who supported it. Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, Kanye West, and others. And I think that buoyed the protesters and made the protesters feel like they could achieve much more than the perhaps narrow original aim of their protest.
And finally, Joe, for governments around the world beyond Africa, why is it important for there to be political and economic stability in Nigeria?
Well, Nigeria is not only, you know, Africa's biggest country and Africa's top oil producer. The future in some ways belongs to sub-Saharan Africa. Its population is growing so fast that once upon a time, these street protests in countries that seemed incredibly far away were perhaps easier to ignore. Now, this is a determining factor in global politics, a determining factor in global economics. And I think even if the Nigerian protesters don't end up getting what they want, there's been a kind of political awakening. A lot of people that you speak to on the streets said, you know, for too long they've been apathetic about politics. For too long they felt that perhaps they didn't have a say or they didn't even want to vote. And now you speak to people and they can't wait for the next election and they're really, really kind of intoxicated by having their voice heard. And we're seeing that, you know, not just in Nigeria, but all across the world on every continent.
Joe Parkinson is our Africa Bureau Chief. Joe, thank you and be well.
Thanks so much, Mark.
And finally, a late night celebration at NASA.
We're going in.
We're going in.
Touchdown declared.
All right.
Sampling is in progress.
This is sound from a NASA tweet as last night, about 200 million miles away from Earth, a very small U.S. spacecraft was gathering clues about how the solar system began. To do that, our science reporter Robert Lee Hote says the NASA spacecraft OSIRIS-REx was sent to collect samples from the asteroid known as Bennu. But instead of landing, it just kissed the surface because scientists say Bennu is more like a pile of loosely compacted rubble, barely held together by gravity.
It is like the ultimate one-time attempt. This all boils down to 15 seconds of a quick touch and go of one of the smallest asteroids out there. In fact, this is the smallest object that NASA has ever successfully orbited. And this spacecraft's going to creep up on it, extend like an 11-foot robotic arm with a kind of sticky pad and a filter at the end of it, just poof, touch, and then back away.
The asteroid sample could be extraordinary, but it may take days before NASA scientists know the outcome of its $1.16 billion mission. And that's what's news for Wednesday. We're back tonight with a new show. We'll be following earnings all day on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.